From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. In Saudi Arabia, late Saturday night, three bomb blasts ripped into a residential compound in the capital city of Riyadh. The Saudi government says at least 9 people died in the attack and more than 80 were wounded. The Saudi government also said the attack was carried out by suicide car bombers who shot their way into the upscale housing complex. An interior ministry spokesperson said 2 of the dead were security guards, and a spokesperson for the Lebanese embassy in Riyadh said 3 Lebanese nationals died, including a 5-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl. The attack came a day after the U.S. State Department announced that 3 American missions in Saudi Arabia would be temporarily shut down because of reports of an imminent attack. In neighboring Iraq this weekend, 1 American soldier was killed and another wounded when their vehicle hit an explosive device on a Baghdad street. In southern Iraq, a British soldier was wounded in a bomb blast in Basra. The weekend incidents follow the deadliest week of the U.S.-British occupation of Iraq. 36 American troops have died in the country since the beginning of November. The stepped-up violence came as Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage visited Iraq. NPR's Peter Kenyon is on the line from Baghdad. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Leanne.
Peter, we spoke a week ago when the U.S. Chinook helicopter had just been shot down. 16 Americans were killed. It has just gotten worse during the week with daily attacks, increasing numbers of fatalities. What do American officials say about this situation?
Well, the news from the Americans is, yes, this is not a good situation, and yes, we are continuing to fight. I think the real change is the rather relentless focus on the positive things that were happening, which a little over a week ago was very much the message from the U.S.-led occupation folks. Now we're hearing more, yes, it's not going so well, but we still have a plan and we're still going to prevail in the end. But clearly we're hearing that they really can't just go on saying, look, you're ignoring all of the positive elements when we see this continuing trickle of death tolls. I mean, obviously, it was the worst week because largely of that Chinook transport helicopter, 16 in one day. But they just have kept coming day after day after day, and today's no exception.
So the Bush administration says it's determined to stay the course. This past week, though, the International Committee of the Red Cross decided the situation was too dangerous to maintain its full staff there. What about other non-governmental organizations? How are they reacting?
Well, the Red Cross really is just the latest in a list of people who are either pulling out or seriously considering doing so. As you know, the United Nations has pulled many of its staffers out, certainly all the international staff after their headquarters was car bombed. The Red Cross suffered car bombing as well, of course, here in Baghdad, reduced their staff presence, and then yesterday said both Baghdad and Basra offices would be temporarily closed completely. Now, Basra is under British troop control, and it hasn't seen as many attacks as appear in Baghdad. And today we've had some foreign Red Cross staffers say they would, in fact, stay and do some work there in the southern city. But there's no question the situation is borderline for many aid agencies. I have talked to some folks who say they are very actively laying plans to train Iraqi staff in the contingency that they do have to pull out if the situation deteriorates further.
Finally, there's an article in today's Washington Post, Peter, saying the Bush administration has grown impatient with the U.S.-appointed and supported Iraq Governing Council. How is that body perceived in Baghdad?
Well, I can tell you that there are serious questions about the pace of work here. There's a December 15th deadline for getting a constitution, and the council can't even agree on how to elect those people who are going to draft that document. The Shiite members want them elected, not surprising, because they're the majority of the population. Others are very worried about both the time it would take and protecting their minority rights. This is all supposed to lead up to elections. The U.S. wants them in the coming year. There are growing signs that that may not be possible. And if we do start to see any active planning to replace this governing council with something along the lines of what we had in Afghanistan, a provisional government, that probably means the U.S. is resigning itself to staying in Iraq for a considerably longer period of time.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Baghdad. Peter, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leanne.